Please help me welcome our speaker this evening, Courtney from Newport, Delaware, and her home group is the Tuesday Night Big Book Study.
Hello, everybody. My name's Courtney. I'm an alcoholic. Let me just start off with the basics. My sobriety date is March 1st, 2010. I have a sponsor. I am a sponsor. I have a home group, and I've been through the 12 steps as they're outlined in the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you guys for welcoming me out here, and thank you for inviting me. It's an honor and a privilege when AA asked me to do something because, it wasn't always like that for me. I guess a little bit about what I was like. I started drinking when I was like 14, pretty normal, and I had like these parents who really loved and cared about me, and it just annoyed me so bad, and I wanted more than nothing to just be free. And I gotta say, from like the first time I drank the way that I drank, I really felt that sense of like ease and comfort that the Big Book talks about, and I felt free. And like what it was like for me is I had this huge party, and I was in middle school, and like, so it was a big party, and everybody was invited, and I got super drunk. It was my birthday, and I remember when I went, like, my dad held my hair up for me the whole night, and it was awesome. And when I went back to school, people were like, oh, my God, that was awesome, and you were so drunk. And I was like, I know, I was so drunk, and I just loved it. Like, I just loved it because, like, another thing that I suffer from is, like, this huge ego that tells me that, like, I'm greater than everyone in here, or I just don't, like, fit in, And so, like, very, very quickly, my drinking became, like, an important part of my life. When I was in eighth grade, I drank, like, on the weekends and stuff like that. And then what happened was my parents were really controlling. So, like, I had, limited amount. Like, my mom always wanted to talk to somebody's mom, and it was just ridiculous. So, right? How dare they love me? And but my little brother, actually, he got really sick, right? He got cancer. And my mom, and I was 14, and my mom and dad were like, I had to be at the hospital all the time. And I wasn't happy that my brother was sick or anything, but I was just like, finally, like, I can do what I want. I can just do whatever I want. Like, I just want to do whatever I want to do. And, like, looking back, I know that I didn't even realize how selfish I was. Like, I remember the first little bit of trouble I got into, I bet this guy that I could drive his car better than him for $5. And it was like a hoopty Honda Civic, not registered, no tags, neighborhood car, sell weed and smoke it in it. That's all. You know what I mean? Don't take it on the highway. Don't take it too far. Just drive around the neighborhood because, But so I decided I'm going to drive it better than him. Crashed it into two parked cars in a tree, it was really fun. And I remember my girlfriend, she was like, ditch the hoodie. And I was like, I ditched the hoodie and I'm running and I'm, and it was so fun. And I'm like, and I finally made it home and I called my dad, and my brother was in surgery, like his second brain surgery, And I called my dad and I'm like, Dad, like, listen, the police are coming to the house. And he's like, well, go in the house and start crying and don't let them in until I come. And I did that, right? And, like, it worked for me, because, like, I have a sob story, Like, my little brother's sick, like, I can do what I want, like, it's really not that bad, people, like, I just like to drink and have fun, right? That's all I like to do. And so, like, I started, like, thriving on that, like, just that freedom, and it was fun for me for a while, but, like, what happened is that, like, by 10th, going on 11th grade, I had gotten kicked out of the one school that I was in because, like, I always fell asleep in class. And I wanted to show up and do other things, but other things were more important to me. And I still thought I had, like, some control over, like, the drink, And when I was, like, 19, I checked into my first detox. And I remember thinking, like, they went around the room, and people talked about their experience, and they talked about, like, what alcohol did to them, and they talked about, like, these horrible things that had happened due to alcohol, and I just couldn't relate to that. you know, because it was still my solution. Like, I loved it. It made me feel like everything was okay, you know what I mean? It made me feel like, you know, what do they say, like, prettier, I think you're prettier, everything's greater, you know what I mean? And, So I left there, and my girlfriend was like, well, because I had checked in there for a different kind of alcohol, and my girlfriend was like, well, you can drink, right? And I was like, of course. They didn't say anything about not drinking. They probably said a whole bunch of stuff about not drinking, but I did not hear that, you know? And, like, my parents, they would come visit me and different things, and, like, I'm sure there's plenty of times where I really kind of wanted to be different, you know, but I wasn't. And, like, when I was in that rehab, like, that little detox, I remember thinking, like, I'll never be like these people. Like, I will never be like these people. Like, they just have, like, a bad life, or they just have, like, you know, they're just not me. I don't know what to tell them, you know? And like, that's not true, you know? Because, well, we'll get to that. But anyway, you know, I just had all these different ideas of, like, how I was different, you know, and how, like, a drink really wasn't my problem. Like, my problem was, like, you know, I needed better friends, or my problem was really, like, when I didn't have the drink, you know what I mean, when the drink ran out, and then, like, all of a sudden I was, like, you know, just a mess, right? And, bless you. Let me just say also, I'm incredibly nervous. It's difficult for me to stand up in front of you guys and tell you guys the truth about, like, everything, because, like, for so long it's like, you know what I mean? Like, now I get the opportunity to, like, tell the truth, but before everything was, like, it was not the truth. You know, I thought it was the truth, but it wasn't. So, anyway, I leave this little detox, and I think that, like, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. Like, I'm just young. I just love to have fun, you know. That's all it is. I'm just having a good old time. And, like, then, like, really, like, things started happening. Like, you know, people who I went to school with, they graduated school. Like, I dropped out, right? I convinced my mom that the school was against me. Made sure I got my driver's permit first. But the school was against me, and I just wasn't that kind of learner. You know, I'm different. Like, I need hands-on. I need to be in the real world. You know, I need to work because I'm grown and because I just can't do this school thing and because I'm in three grades at once, I'm probably not going to pass anyway. So let's just get this over with now. And she agreed, and I, you know, left school. And I started working, like, you know, full-time as a hostess and, like, you know, and, like, things, like, I got a little car. I didn't buy the car, you know what I mean? My grandpa bought it for me. But, like, I, you know, got some stuff, and I'm like, you know, life is fine, you know? Life is pretty good, and things are enjoyable. And, like, I don't know when that switched for me to when, like, I had the control over a drink and when I was just, like, young. I mean, not that I really had control, but that, like, mental thing where I think I do and I can drink enough, but I would go to work and I would really want to stay, or I would really want to not drink so much the night before, but I couldn't help but to find myself every time I went in throwing up in their bathroom. And they're like, Courtney, like, what's up with this? And I'm like, what's the problem? Like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like, everybody else knows that there's a problem, not me. It's fun to me. You know, this is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I'm about, you know. And clearly, you're not cool enough to understand that. You know what I mean? Right? And I remember, like, okay, let me just keep going, because, so, like, I got this little job, and then, like, I got this great idea, right? Like, I went to this little seminar, and I think this is, like, a good part, because I never realized that, like, I suffer from this mental twist, right? So, like, not even, like, in the aspect of just, like, but my attitude overall, right? So I get an idea. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then I'm like, watch out, everybody. This is my idea. I'm going to do it, right? So I quit my job to sell knives. You know what I mean? Quit my job selling knives. And then they told me I had to buy the kit. The kit was expensive, so I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that. But then I left my job, my little job as a hostess. And then, like, you know, the whole time, like, the drink became a bigger, bigger part of my life, you know. And at this time, like, I was addicted to a drink, you know, and I couldn't be separate from a drink because I would be physically sick, you know what I mean? And I still didn't see anything wrong with that, and I would do all types of things just to kind of get my drink, you know, and manipulate a lot of people. And like we all do, you know, because like that's what a drink does for me. You know, a drink for me is like, ha, like I can breathe. The world is fine. Like you, me and you, we're fine. Like life is good, you know, until like I cross that line and then like I can't live like with or without a drink, you know. And like, so I spent a few years, you know, just living like that, you know, just finding different jobs and random things and, you know, drinking all the time and, like, I guess what happened was, is just, like, it became to where, like, I started to realize that, like, I had no control over the drink, you know. And I would, like, make up these goal sheets, you know, and I would, like, really want to do things on the goal. But, like, every time, like, you know, like, drinking the way that I drank would get in the way of it, you know. But I would just always say it was, like, something else, you know, like these circumstances or, like, if I just wouldn't drink so much. And, like, so I decided after that first detox that I was going to drink differently, right, because I really didn't want to be sick as I was before. So I tried a different kind of drink and a different kind of drink, and I tried all different kinds of drink just to be drunk, you know. And for me, like, I never drank because I liked the way it tasted or anything, although I did, you know what I mean? I didn't love it, but it was fine cold. And, you know, and like, after a while of me, like, trying all these different kinds of ways to drink, like, I started to kind of realize that it didn't work for me. And I remember, like, I would do some of the craziest stuff, like, so stupid, like, okay, you know, at a funeral, it's sad, right? Someone just passed away, it's pretty sad. It was my cousin's pop-up, and this just popped into my mind, so I'm going to go ahead and let God do his job, because honestly, I really don't have too much to say, you know? But I remember it was, like, my pop-up's funeral, and I remember I was trying to drink the way that I drank beforehand because I got into a really bad car accident. And oh, this is another part. Okay, so here's what happened. I'm driving back from New Jersey, and I fell asleep at the wheel, and, like, I crashed into a pole. Okay, that's fine. So I was in the hospital for, like, 3 days, right? Something happened. I don't know. I punctured something. Whatever. But while I was there, like, my best friend, like, passed away, right? And so, like, I was in the hospital, and, like, I told you, like, I didn't know how to live life, right? Like, this whole time, like, I'm living life, like, just drinking the way that I drink, just not harming others, not caring, thinking it's a grand old time, you know, and whatever. And, like, she died, you know, like, her son found her dead. And, like, from there on, like, any spiritual belief that I could have had was tossed out the window, you know, and because, like, I felt like she was a good person, you know, and I felt like my little brother was a good person, and I was so angry, you know what I mean, and like, I was just like, nah, like, I'm done, you know, like, and I just was basically like, whatever, you know. I was really angry, and then, like, but I didn't stop. Like, it never crossed my mind to, like, stop drinking the way that I drank, or, like, maybe stop driving under the influence. You might not crash into poles, you know. That never crossed my mind. I was kind of just like, okay, how am I going to do this differently? And that was, like, always my mindset, you know? Like, how am I going to do this differently? Like, how am I going to do it and not do it to excess, you know? But anytime I would do it to excess, because that's just what I like to do. But, you know, the funeral story, and then, like, basically my, I don't know. I found myself on the back of a boat looking into the sky, telling my cousin that her grandfather was in the sky, and I'm all drunk and crying, and she's like, shut up. Like, why don't you just shut up? Like, nobody wants you around anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you just shut up, you know? And, like, I was like, okay. You know, like, but I didn't realize, like, I spent this whole time, you know what I mean? Like, just thinking that I'm, like, living my life and just doing what I do, and I'm not affecting anyone, you know? But people started to not want me around, and I wondered why, but, like, looking back, I know why, you know? And, so, like, then what happened is I was probably around, like, 18, 19 when I checked in that detox, and then I, you know, told you guys I was going to do it differently, and so I tried to start controlling the drink, you know, and I try to start like hanging out with only people who drank this kind of drink, you know what I mean? And like then like I found myself doing the very things that I told myself in that you know, little detox that I would never ever do. Because the drink had become so important to me that my family no longer mattered, that I no longer mattered, and that I just needed to drink the way that I drank, you know. And my mom, she wrote me this letter, and she was like, you know, Courtney, I love you, and I care about you, but I can't stand the way that you're living. So, like, you can live here, I'm paraphrasing, you know, I don't remember exactly what she said verbatim, but anyway, you can live here, you know, if you do chores, basically I'll give you money, but, like, that's it. And she, like, wrote me off because, like, I was living like I didn't care about death. You know what I mean? And in fact, I was like, I only live once. Die now. Why not? Who cares? Do it. You know what I mean? Just do it. And so crazy. And, like, my little sister, who I really love so much, like, she saw me going in and out of her drawers. You know what I mean? Like, taking her stuff. And, like, it turned into, like, this thing for me that was, like, I just couldn't like live life and drink the way that I drank anymore. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't, like I got fired from work. I remember I came home one time, I got fired from work because I was still living in my parents' house. And I was like, Dad, I got fired. And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Like they fired me. Like, don't you understand? Like this is a big deal. You know? And he was like, he saw it coming. Everybody saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. I thought I was a good employee. I mean, most of the times, you know, on a lot of days when I didn't fall asleep at the counter. But anyway, you know, and like, so that's kind of like, and then I started, well, when I was like younger, I started getting into like legal trouble, you know, and like all the charges I ever got were for other people. So I thought I was like about something, you know what I mean? And I had this like street cred, you know, and I'm like, you know, and I'm from the suburbs, but you know how I do, cause I'm like the truth, you know what I mean? And like, I really adapted that mindset, you know what I mean? I adapted it and I thrived on it, you know, and like, you have to know, like, that I'll take a charge, you know? And that's not cool. You know, nobody ever told me, like, that's not really cool. Like, that's on your criminal record. You can't get a job. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to hire you. you're not a, like, you know, you're not in with society. Society don't do that. So, it just cracks me up. And, you know, and like, so I started to, like, do these things and, like, become this person like more and more, right? Because I like have to stick up for my ego, you know, like I can't let you know, because like really on the inside, like I'm starting to know that like I can't live without a drink, you know, I really can't live without a drink, and like starting to get painful, but like I can't do anything about it, so I'm like gotta keep doing it, you know, I gotta keep doing it. And like what happened for me is like I found myself in like places that I never thought I'd be in. You know, and I found myself with like some people who were really about that stuff. You know what I mean? And I really wasn't. But I mean, maybe I was. Who? Probably not. Probably wasn't. But anyway, okay. So, long story short, what happened was like I got into some serious trouble, and I got a good lawyer, and I was already in an outpatient program, and I couldn't for the life of me pass the drug test that they have. And like every time I would tell myself, I'm not going to do it on this day, you know, I'm going to be, because they call your color and whatnot, I'm going to be, you know, and I had tried to go to some other meetings, you know, and I would go there and I understood what they were talking about when they said, like, be honest, you know, maybe come to believe in a God, I can understand that, but live life without drinking the way that I drink, like, are you insane? Like, that's baffling to me, like, I can't, like, I would try to get 7 days, 4 days, whatever, and then be out in the parking lot or in the bathroom before I even thought about drinking the way that I drank, you know, and it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't, like, I couldn't fathom, like, living without a drink. Like, I really just didn't understand that, like, at all, you know? Whew. And, you know, so I went to their meetings and, like, I tried to, like, you know, be, like, you know, actually pass a drug test. And I never could. I couldn't. And I just couldn't, like, I just always had flying colors, you know? And eventually they were like, you know, Miss Mills, we're going to suggest that you go to a rehab. And I was like, okay, but listen, here's the thing. I think I know what I need to do. Like, I'm going to go to a detox. I'm going to go to these meetings. I'm going to be just fine. I know that I'm going to be just fine. And then they were like, well, Ms. Mills, we're not really suggesting that you go. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go then. You know, I mean, I'm going to go. So I checked into a detox, and, like, I cried there, and it was really sentimental. I was like, I'm done. You know, I shared about it. Oh, I'm so done. Like, I'm just done with this life. I'm just done with everything. Done with Robin, my mom. Done with, like, and my dad would beg me. He'd be like, Courtney, why can't you just stay home and have a few drinks? And I'd be like, no. What? No. Like, I have to go. Like, the streets are cold. Like, I have to go. I can't stay here. What do you mean, stay here? No. Gotta go, you know? And, like, I never knew. I just didn't know how to drink. And, like, my dad, he can drink, and he can go to work the next day. I don't know how he does it, you know? I don't know how people do. I mean, it's awesome. I think it's great, you know? I mean, if it can be great, well, then it maybe will, but I don't know. Anyway, I can't do that, right? Because I have this thing that the Big Book talks about, like this physical allergy and the phenomenon of craving, that every time I pick up a drink, no matter what kind of drink it is, I end up in the same spot. Maybe not the same physical spot, but the same mental spot. And I cannot, like, be restored to sanity without something, then, you know what I mean, that's not human power, right? So, like, my grandparents at the time, like, my whole family is involved now, you know, because, like I told you, like, they suggested that I go to this rehab, and so I went to the detox, and I had this firm resolution, right? And I really meant it. Like, for the first time, I really meant it, like, I'm done, right? But, like, I left there, and, like, I was like, well, she ain't so bad. You know what I mean? Me and her, we could just hang out, you know, and hang out with the same people, do the same thing. No kind of solution. Didn't even know what I suffered from. Had no clue. I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? Did the same thing, and I found myself, now this whole time I thought I looked really cute, but the second time I checked in detox, both my eyes were black, my hair was blue from where I had, it was mostly blonde, some places were blue, because I had knotted out with a hair dye on my hair, and so it was like stringy, you know, and I wore it down, it was a mess, right? So that's where I was, and, like, the second time you go into a detox on the same month, they don't give you any medication. So it's basically, like, you're on your own, you had your shot at the beginning of this month, you blew that shot, here you go, suffer. So I did that, right? Whatever. And oh, yeah, what I want to tell you. So, like, I remember, though, the second time I went to detox in the same month is because I went to the rehab, right, after the first time I went to detox, and I had bought this drink. But then, like, when I was on my way there, I decided, you know, it's already in my system, so I can just drink a little more, you know, on top of that. So when I got there, and my family, like, this loving, kind, caring family, they're like, my mom and dad are in Tennessee or something like that with my brother, because every year he gets, like, you know, he goes there and they check him out to that research hospital and everything. Just make sure everything's good, and thank God it is, but... They're like, okay, so that's where they are. My grandparents come down. Now, the first time my grandparents came down, like, I remember, like, I wanted to leave really bad. Like, I really, really wanted to leave, you know, and I knew they were coming down, and I was like, but just one more time. I just got to go one more time. And I went that one more time, and I never made it back, you know. And I remember, like, that painful, painful thing when you're, like, looking at your phone and you want to answer it so bad, but you're trapped up. And, like, alcohol is the only thing that matters to you more than anything in this world. And, like, you love your family, but you just can't answer. You know what I mean? You can't answer. And, like, that's where I was. And it was, like, I wanted to so bad, but I just couldn't answer. And I stood him up, you know, and I just never went home. I mean, I went home eventually, but not that night. So that's what happened, and then so they're like, okay, we're going to take Courtney to rehab. Come on, everybody. And I'm the oldest of five, you know, so my one brother and my mom and dad are in wherever they are. And they're like, okay, let's go. Get in the conversion van, drive in Delaware City, because I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, right? Drive in Delaware City. When we get there, of course, I fail the drug test. And I never knew until, like, I was a little bit through their program that they had there, that, like, I was begging these people at admissions to let me in, because I was just so shameful and, like, full of remorse already that, like, I just knew, like, if I walk back out to that car, Like, if I walk, like, I can't even get accepted here. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are going to kick me out of here, you know, because I've been kicked out of plenty of places. And, like, they're like, we can't let you in. And I tried, like, and I was crying. And, like, my grandfather was right outside the door, you know. And that's embarrassing. You know what I mean? That's how I manage my life. You know, that's how I do when the drink is in control of my life. You know, and I don't have any other options but to drink the way that I drink. You know, and like that hopeless variety that they talk about, like I've experienced that. You know what I mean? Because there were many times where I wanted to put down the drink, but I just couldn't do it. Like everything in me wanted to, but I just didn't have that power. I never knew. Like this whole time, I thought like I was supposed to be strong enough to do that. You know, I was supposed to do something, like, you know, but that's not the truth, you know. And I'm grateful that somebody pointed that out to me, like when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. But so my grandpa took me to the detox the second time in the month, and he sat with me the whole time while I fell asleep in their chair out front, you know. And I remember I got to rehab. And, like, a drink really makes me feel secure, so I had put, like, a drink in my bag, right, like, underneath my stuff, and somebody had taken it out. And when I got there, and I was like, I felt like, okay, everything's going to be fine, I'm just going to, because my instinct was, okay, I'm going to get through this, I'm going to tell them what they want to hear, I'm going to get out, I'm going to do the same thing, because I don't want to, you know what I mean, like, yeah, I want help, but really, I don't know about that, it seems kind of weird, you know, I don't know. So, like, when I found out that it wasn't there, I just remember, like, hitting my knees, like, oh, my God, like, what am I going to do here? Because I never did any jail time or, like, anything like that. It wasn't jail, you know. It was not jail. But it was just, like, the fact of, like, having to be somewhere for 5 months, and I don't have a solution. I don't have anything. I don't even, you know what I mean? And I knew that, like, the only person who would come pick me up from there was this guy who had one leg. And I knew sooner or later it was going to have to come to something for me to hang out with him, and I really wasn't trying to do it, you know? And so I was like, no, that's, like, my only option. Like, I had whittled my options down to that one option, you know? And he probably had to have somebody else come with him because he only has one leg, so he can't drive. So it would have been a bad story, you know? But, you know, it's true. So I did that rehab, and I went there, like I told you guys, March 1st, 2010. And, like, thank God I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink since then, you know. And I can't tell you, like, I was talking to my sponsor right before I came. I said, you know, like, I don't really remember, like, you know, what happened, what it was like. And I was like, I don't remember what it was like. You know, and she was like, well, that's a good thing. That means that, you know, you just stood out of the way long enough for God to come in and do his job. You know what I mean? That you could, like, you know, recover from the seamlessly hopeless state of mind and body, that you could surrender your ego for just long enough to become willing and open-minded that there is another way of life out here for you. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want, like, I didn't want to have to live life without a drink, but I didn't know any other option. You know, I was, like, in this place, and like we all get to, right? And so I went to have rehab, and I, like, followed their suggestions, you know, and like, I stayed, actually. I got into a lot of trouble there because I always slept. And, like, I would wake up, but then I'd, like, sleep in my closet or sleep on the floor or something like that. And they were like, no, 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 no. So I got into a lot of trouble for that, and I got a lot of visits taken. And I remember saying to my dad, like, one time when I really wanted to leave, I was like, Dad, I think I've had enough. I'm going to come home now. And, like, my dad, like I told you, they've always been, like, really loving, caring, let me come back home, leave the door unlocked, you know. He was like, Courtney, you don't have a home. You don't have a home, you know. And I was like, I don't, you know. And I was 21 at the time, and it's just crazy because, you know, I did what they told me to do there. And then, like, when I left there, I went to this place called the Friendship House. And what that is it's like a transitional house, you know. And you start off, it's in a shelter. It's the nicest shelter I've ever been in. Haven't been in that. Well, I've been, you know, in some, but not, I mean, like, in there. And they just taught me so many things there, you know. And I think it kind of started there because, like, it was a process, like everything is, right? And, like, when I got there, like, people invited me to do things, right? Like, they invited me to do things in AA, right? Like, they invited me, and So I'm really calm now, believe it or not. I used to be like super hype about like, I mean, I'm still super hype about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm excited, you know, that I get to live this life, you know, and I become more excited when I get to do things like this and when I get to take other people through the steps and when I get to learn new things, right? But like, I was really excited that like they were going to take an AA meeting into the rehab that I was at. So I was like really, really excited, but like over the top excited, like you probably shouldn't go like that because, you know, it's kind of crazy. And so I was trying to explain to them like my mentality of what I was like before I got there. So I sung a little Wayne song to them and it wasn't really that good. And then they called the director of the place and they said that like if I ever act like that again, I will not be allowed to come back. But I was just so like exhilarated, you know, because I didn't know that there was like another way of life, you know, like I had no clue. I didn't have to die a hopeless alcoholic or just like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know all that, you know? I had no clue. I thought I was just going to have to continue on through life, finding a different way to drink the way that I drank, you know, and maybe one day learn what it's like to drink the way that I drink and show up for a job or, I don't know. I have no idea. So, you know, and since then, like, so many things have happened. Like, I went through that program and I graduated that and I tried out for the Navy. And they didn't accept me. And I remember, like, I was like, oh, my God, like, why didn't they accept me? Well, I still had, like, things on my record, you know. I wasn't convicted of a few of the things, but, like, you know. And I didn't really score that highly on the test, you know. And then, like, so I was like, okay, whatever, you know. But I remember, like, running there. And I had, like, soup. Sorry, this is just a little side note. And I had, like, soup in my backpack, and it spilled. So I was, like, abandon the backpack, keep running. Like, but I was really determined, right, because we can be that way, right? We can be really determined on getting what we want when we want it, right? And, like, luckily, like, somewhere in this time frame, like, I had a sponsor, right? I had a sponsor who did yoga at the institution I was in. So she was really cool. She was, like, super zen, spiritual, like, you know, cushions and mats and stuff, and she was, like, really on top of it, right? And eventually, like, me and her went through 1, 2, and 3, and I was like, you're really spiritual. I don't think I'm ever going to be like that, you know, because I still separated myself because I don't know why I did, but I just thought that, like, you're too good. I'll never be like you. And I told her that, and she was like, I hope you know, okay, that's fine, but that's not true. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I got another sponsor. I decided this time I'm going to pick my sponsor. She had really nice hair, and it was really curly, and she was like, you know, whatever. And then, like, so I was on my 4-step, and then she wound up drinking. So I was like, okay, you know, I guess I'm fine now because I had been in the third stage at the Friendship House. I was getting myself a little truck. I had a job. And, like, sometimes I would think, like, if I just had a car, everything would be fine. You know, it would just be all right. And finally, I was getting that car. I was like, I'll be fine. You know, I'll be all right. I pray and stuff. So I go to meetings, and, you know, it'll be fine. And, like, luckily, one of the many times that I feel like my God intervened in my life, one night I went out like I would any normal night. And I think this part is important because, like, this is what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? We carry the message, right? Not just with words, right? Most of the times with our actions. So went out, you know, different things. And this girl asked me, she's like, oh, where are you at on the step work, you know? And I told her the truth. She was like, oh, okay. And she didn't say nothing to me, like, the rest of the night at dinner. So I was like, she thinks I'm good, too. Do you know what I mean? I think it's fine, whatever. But when we pulled in to, like, where she was going to drop me off, like, she was like, go in your house and get your 4-step. And I was like, and I did, you know? And then, like, she took me through the rest of the steps. And in, like, this time period, you know, like, I was working and I met somebody at work, and, like, then, like, I got an apartment, you know, and then, like, me and my girlfriend got an apartment together, and then, like, you know, my boyfriend moved in, her boyfriend moved in, and it was really great. Everything was great for a while, you know, like road to recovery, right? We're all practicing principles. We're all doing our, like, you know, AA, and they were in another fellowship, but we were all, like, doing it right, you know? And, you know, what had happened was, like, I got engaged and I, you know, had all these things. And then, like, you know, they moved out. They had a baby and it was just me and my fiance and we were living together. And then, like, he went back out. And, like, it was a whole nother level of powerlessness. And the reason why I think it's important to stand up here at a podium and say that is because it's something that, like, I didn't know that, like, through anything, like how it says, like, wife or no wife, like, job or no job, you know, like, I can stay sober. You know, like, I have a God now in my life that I don't need anybody else's, you know, like, anything to stay sober. You know what I mean? My relationship and working the 12 steps in my life and carrying the message to other people has afforded me an opportunity to make choices in life. You know what I mean? To make choices of who I want to be, who I want to surround myself about, and when to let go. You know? Like, sometimes it takes a lot of pain for me, you know? And I think it's really important that, like, what happened, and it's so beautiful what happened, because, like, you know, I called off my wedding. And I was like, forget it, you know, I'm done. And he went to rehab and we got evicted and all that other stuff. And I went home to my parents' house, right? My grandmom got really sick. And my mom works two jobs, and I told you I'm the oldest of five, and she needed help. Like, she needed help, and I couldn't see it because I was so trapped up in my own life, you know? But my relationship with God and the 12 steps has afforded me to open my mind and be able to see things, right? And, like, I just think it's so great because, like, I didn't know that when all this happened, like, my grandmom would get sick and eventually die, and my mom would need my help, like, you know, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? Like, living amends. Like, I never knew that, like, when I verbally told my parents, like, you know, I've harmed you, like, what can I do to make it up to you? Of course, they said stay sober and everything like that. But I never knew I'd have the opportunity to, like, live in their house and contribute to it, you know? Like, actually contribute, you know? And my grandpa, who heard me, like, crying outside of the room, like, he asked me to be on his bank account when my grandmom got sick, you know? And, like, these things are things that, like, when I'm, because even in, like, you know, we go through the steps and the problem gets removed, right? Well, we get to see that there's another solution, right? That we can live life without that, without the drink, without the obsession, right? It gets removed, right? How awesome is that? Because I never could get 7 days, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do it, you know? And now, like, not only do we get that freedom, right? Freedom from the drink, but we get the freedom to, like, see what life is, you know? Like, what is it? You know, like, we get to make things right that were really wrong, you know? And, you know, the outside stuff is good, you know? But if somebody would have told me, like, a while ago, you know, like, when I was in that rehab or whatever, that, like, I would be able to, like, my grandma died, and my grandpa is, like, a really hardcore old man, okay? Like, he's set in his ways. He always wants you to do something a certain way, you know, and his way is always better. So, every day on my lunch break, I call my grandpa. And he always says the same thing, right? And he always talks about the same thing. But, like, through doing that, like, every once in a while, he'll call me on a Saturday. And he'll be like, how's your day? Just wanted to talk to you around lunchtime, right? Because he can count on me now, you know? I'm not that, like, hopeless drunk who will do anything for a drink anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I can show up to life like I have a full-time job that I've been at for a while. And they actually just gave me a promotion. And I was like, what? Like, but, oh, yes. Here's what happened. So I was like self-willed on riot, right? I'm going to get this job. I wanted this job at this bank. I bought myself a $200 suit jacket, and I was in there, okay? Three interviews, and I got it, okay? First day, I got fired. Fired. And, like, I stalked their website, and then a woman, and how I can confuse God's will, a woman came in. Their building was right across the street. She came into the restaurant where I worked at for lunch. She was like, you know what? You're a really good waitress. You should put in an application. I was like, well, she doesn't know, but I put in three applications, but now I got her name to back me up, so I'm going to use it. So I did. And, like, you know, so I got the job, right? Got the nice shoes and everything. And, like, slowly but surely, I was starting to realize that, like, I'm doing well. You know, I'm getting ready to get a great job. It's a great job. I'm going to make a lot of money, you know, all this other stuff. And I got fired. So it's funny because I got an email that day saying, like, your application has been reviewed. We're chosen to go with someone else. And I was like, nah, it's not about me. It's got to be about somebody else. So what happened was, you know, I had to, like, humble myself and go back to the place where I was working. But I got my, I had my criminal record or whatever. And so the next job that I went to, it was an office job where I'm at now. My sponsor called me and said, hey, we're hiring. Why don't you put in the application? So I did that. But, like, when I went in for the second interview, I brought my criminal background check with me. And I gave it to this, like, practice administrator, right? Like, you know, suit and tie, like, you know. And I just handed her the papers, and I was like, you know, like, this is who I was, but, like, I'm not that person anymore, and, like, I think that I'd be good for this job, you know. And she was like, okay. And she actually gave me a hug at the end, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, my gosh, she hugged me, you know. And then, like, recently they just promoted me. And I'm like, it's crazy because, like, I couldn't keep a job, you know. And if I did keep a job, like, eventually they wanted me to leave the job, you know. So I think it's just so important that, like, when we carry the message, like, we do it with words, but also, like, with actions, you know. Like, it matters to me, like, do I show up to work on time? Like, when somebody says something smart to me, do I take it, that inventory, you know, that little 10 spot check inventory, do I do that? Or am I, like, you know, just running off of self, you know, throwing things around, right? Am I in prayer and meditation? Do I wake up and do the 11th step? Do I go to sleep with the 11th step? Do I know the 3rd and 7th step prayer? Or am I, you know, taking other women through this process, you know? Because, like, for me, that's where the real freedom came in, you know? And every time I get to sit down with somebody and talk about an 8th step, I think about, well, did I get everybody on my 8th step? You know what I mean? Is there more people for me? And that's just so cool that, like, even, you know, we can stay sober and, like, do, you know what I mean? And, like, it's awesome. Like, I used to always hang around a whole bunch of people to make myself feel better, right? Or, like, to feel a part of or whatever. Like, this past New Year's, I went to Center City, Philadelphia by myself for New Year's. I got myself a hotel room. I met up with my friend down there. We went to the gay club. Had an awesome time. You know what I mean? And, like, I couldn't do those things when I was drinking the way that I drank. You know, I needed to, like, be a part, or I couldn't leave Wilmington, really. You know, I love when people say they went all over the country. I couldn't leave. Like, I was stuck where I was stuck. You know, I couldn't make it out. But, I don't know. There's about 10 minutes left, and I just want to say thank you guys for inviting me out, and, you know, thank everybody in here who does carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's it. Thank you.